welcome to Manx Radio's 2026 House of Keys General Election Candidate Interview Series. I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm our election producer here at Manx Radio. In the weeks leading up to the election, we're giving all the candidates the opportunity to take part in a candidate interview where we can find out a bit more about who they are and what they're standing for. Today, it's the turn of Simon Williams. He's been interviewed by Sian Cowper.
Today, I'm talking to Simon Williams, who's seeking election in the constituency of Rushen. He's standing for the first time in the constituency. So, Simon, I suppose a good place to start. Why are you standing?
I feel that I've always been interested in politics over a long period, 20-odd years, probably even more. And I feel that standing on the sidelines isn't the most productive way of dealing with politics. So I think getting involved and being the person who can actually take people's concerns directly into government is probably the better way to act, because I am concerned things aren't going the way people wish. So maybe it is time for change.
Now, you would be a new face to the House of Keys. So just tell us a bit about your background.
I was born in Rushen in Kentrell Carges. My father was a farmhand. And then we moved into a council house in Ballasalla, where my father then set up his own business. And from a young age, I would help with him working as a landscape gardener. I attended Ballasalla School and then on to Castle Rushen. upon leaving, which I did at quite a young age, I've had various jobs from a slaughterman to an apprentice butcher. I worked on farms, Ballaglonny at the ferry bridge. I worked in factories, the shoe factory, and after that, I worked for the Manx Electricity Authority for quite a few years before training to be a tattooist, which I've done now for the last 30 years. I've been involved in that industry and I've had an amazingly good career and life on the Isle of Man.
Now, on some of the literature you've put out ahead of the election, you say, "I believe in practical, common sense politics that's community led, beneficial and supportive of our island's residents." So just tell us a bit about common sense politics. What does that look like to you?
The common sense part is when we're negotiating contracts for the different schemes that are going ahead, there must be a way of using a bit more common sense to where a contract is written, that it's a fixed contract in our benefit, or at least fair going forward. And common sense is there's a large part of our community wish to use the public footpaths. They're not being maintained. The common sense thing is to work with the community, whether it's direct government involvement or a combination of the community and the government, to fix those footpaths and allow people to get out into nature, which is what they want to do.
So with those contracts then, what at the moment isn't common sense about them?
The fact that the Liverpool land stage has gone so far over budget, I think the private companies, they're in the business to make as much money as they can. And I think it seems that they take advantage of some members of our government and other governments when given prices and writing contracts, which allow them to add extra charges. And it's literally gone out of control.
You've touched on it there, but do you think there is then a lack of common sense at the moment in politics?
No, I think the Isle of Man's doing very well for itself. When you look at the stats of our the money we have saved and we can utilise, we've done very well for ourselves. So the people who are in charge are doing a good job. However, there's always room for improvement. And I think it just needs maybe someone like myself, who's just a normal working Manxman, who can keep an eye on the situation from a different perspective.
Would you continue to be a normal working Manxman, though, if you were a politician?
If elected, I would certainly keep my hand in the art of tattooing. I love it. It's a hobby as well as a passion. It also gives me very direct access to a large, broad range of the community, because I tattoo people from lawyers, doctors, to the normal working people in the street. And they're quite honest when they're talking to me, because it's a bit like being at the hairdressers, I guess. The conversation flows. I'm hearing directly from them their concerns and worries. And I take that in, listen, and it helps me form opinions.
Now, you say you're not standing to radically change our island. So as you're a new face, why would someone pick you then if they don't want radical change?
Well, obviously, if they want radical change, then I wouldn't be the man to vote for. But I think the Isle of Man stands quite uniquely on the world stage. Our culture, our heritage is so important. It's some of our biggest selling points, and we need to maintain that.
In terms of how Parliament and government interact, what's your understanding of that? Do you think Parliament has enough power, Tim Wald has enough power to hold government to account?
I would certainly hope so. It does seem over the last few years that the people who we pay to make the decisions that guide the House of Keys and our people, from what I'm listening to people saying on the doorstep, they feel they're not making it for the benefit of the people of the Isle of Man. So maybe something there has lost its way a little bit. Maybe there isn't enough local connection within the civil servants, and possibly some of the high ones aren't being held accountable for the decisions that ultimately they make and then pass through the MHKs to the public.
Do you think, in terms of, particularly in Tynwald, do you think government has too much power in terms of the block vote that the Council of Ministers has, or is that something that needs to be looked at?
I think it's important that the elected members of the MHAs of the House of Keys and Tynwald are able to make decisions and push them forward. What we're seeing a lot the last few years, everything has to go to consultation. Everything has to be put to the back to the public. And most of the time, it's a 50-50 split. The people who don't like it are very vocal. The ones who are indifferent don't say very much at all. And there's a large proportion of the community who sat in the middle who are pretty indifferent. They just want people to run the government for them in an efficient, common sense way to allow them to live, work on our beautiful island.
In terms of the relationship as well between local authorities and government, what's your stance on that?
That's a difficult one. I do contact the local authorities on occasion with complaints and stuff. And just this week, there was no bin collection. And I just did what a normal member of the public did. I went onto their Facebook page, no information. And there seems to be a lack of communication. The people I've dealt with within the local authorities seem a bit hesitant, and I don't know whether it's because there's been so much public criticism that they're now feeling they can't say anything to anyone. So I'd like to bridge that gap and get them all working together, because that's basically what we're wanting to do in reality.
Just coming back to your comments a moment ago about consultations and how we have seen some where there's a bit of a 50-50 split. How do you tackle that when there's an issue that the public is essentially divided on?
I think the public are going to have faith in their voting. The people are elected are a fair representation of themselves. And that being said, they have to follow those paths, what they believe to be the right path for the Isle of Man, and hopefully support it. Obviously raise concerns and lobby the MHKs, which is the right thing to do, and see where we go from there.
We've seen lots of talk over the last couple of years about referenda and perhaps giving the public more say in some government decisions. Is that something you think could be a bit too complicated for some issues?
I basically think that's a really good idea. But what I'm finding again on the doorstep is that people are quite indifferent. They just want to live their life and be able to do it and know that the people representing them are doing a good job. So, yes, if it's a very important topic, I'll have a referendum. But I don't think government can really work if we're having to stop and ask back to the people constantly. So probably no, but yes on a very important questions.
In terms of where you would fit in if you were elected, would you see yourself taking a government role, for example?
Not initially. I spent 2 years as an apprentice tattooist, and at least a year of that was before I even attempted to mark someone's skin for life. So I would take the same frame of mind if I went into politics. I'd obviously have to find out if I was enjoying it and making a positive difference. I was, and I found I could. I have been asked this on the doorstep several times, and I would be very interested in the tourism side, promoting the Isle of Man, as opposed to, I'm not a lawyer or an accountant or a doctor, and I'm like I said, I'm just a Manxman who's done very well for himself using the opportunities I've had, and I promote the Isle of Man wherever I travel, and I'd like to continue that if possible.
What do you make of the legislative process itself? There are obviously several different readings that bills go through. Is that scrutiny good, or is it quite a slow process?
I think there's it is a slow process from the outside looking in. But obviously every single word has to be checked because it can make such a difference. So I think it has to happen. It's going to be a challenge for me. But I also think that if we could simplify the process to make it more understandable to the normal working person, the normal resident on the Isle of Man, then that would be the way forward.
What do you think the priorities for the next administration are?
Well, I think diversifying our income streams. Obviously, 60% of our income is from insurance and financial sector, and only around 30% is from the normal working people. So we need to build on industry, make paths easier for the industry to get off the island once things are made and produced. Diversify our income. That's how I live my own life. Diversify my income, and it's something that the government also needs to do to protect us from if one certain industry disappears, we've got other things to fall back on.
So what would those other things be? Are there any particular industries that we need to be looking at?
I think the most important thing is for government to support entrepreneurial ideas and to the local people. It's individuals who come up with the best ideas, and government should be there to help and support them. I'm not saying completely financially back them, but some of the legislation could be made simpler to make it easier for them to create well-established businesses that are successful here and successful for the Isle of Man.
We asked you your priorities when we asked you to fill in your candidate information for Manx Radio, and one of the ones you listed there was reducing GP waiting times. What is the issue there, and what do you think needs to be done?
Well, when you talk to various residents from the Isle of Man, the different surgeries are handling this a lot better than others. A recent visit to the doctors myself, the doctor had to take quite a bit of time writing notes as we went through. It sort of broke up that flow of me trying to communicate the issues that I had and why I was there. And I'm fully aware I've only got 5 or 10 minutes to get that across before I have to then go away. And unfortunately, in the South Island at the moment, it's a six week waiting list sometimes for just a standard appointment. So having spoke to other doctors working throughout the UK, they seem to have accepted AI a lot quicker, where just like me and you were talking now, the AI can make a note of this, and then it's just for the doctor to check. So that would be one very simple way of speeding up the time of meeting your doctor and making sure that everything you'd said had been noted. I'm very happy to work with whoever's in the doctor's surgery to try and facilitate making the whole process easier for our residents, because I know it's a very stressful thing for the people of Russian, particularly at the moment, and hopefully we can rectify it.
One of the other issues you highlighted was housing. Now, of course, that was a big talking point in the last election. Do you think enough has been done? Do you think that has been a high enough priority over the last 5 years?
It's a difficult one. People are starting to live different lives now. It's not the standard. You get into a relationship, live together for a while, buy a house. Individuals are now trying to do it on their own. It makes it twice as difficult. So the government maybe needs to consult with developers, and social housing needs to be built directed towards the way people are now living. So maybe one and two bedroom houses rather than two and three. The schemes that the government already have can certainly be built on. I took advantage of it 37 years ago. I had a first time buyer's house. And the only problem, there was a bit too much of government involvement at that time. To be able to get the house, you had to be married. So at 19, we'd been in a relationship for quite a few years. We got married, but from the 14 houses in the close where we got our house, 12 people are now divorced. So forcing people to get married, forcing people to sign into mortgages too young isn't the way forward. But certainly building units which are more suitable for the way that people are currently living and giving as much assistance that the government can. One of my little ideas would be social housing. Let's get some more social housing built under the same remit where it suits the people what they need, one and two bedroom units. So if your standard rent is £500 a month, offer them £1,000 a month rent, but that £500 extra will be held by the government for, say, a period of 5 years. And at the end of that period, that money can then be released as a deposit for them to move into the private sector. Because when you've only got to pay £500 a month, it's very easy to overspend on other items in your life. Whereas if you sort of give them the incentive to save, so they're living comfortably, hopefully, and saving at the same time, that would be, going forward, I think, quite a good idea.
You talked there about the kind of the changing way people live these days. Do you think sometimes the island and government can be perhaps a little bit slow to catch up with things like that?
I think it's something that we have to keep an eye on, and things develop. Once you become established, I'm 58, so I'm not really thinking about how someone who's 18, how they're living their lives, 25. I can see how they are, but it's totally different to how I am. So, yeah, we can make ourselves more aware. We need to listen to people, and their input is important, how they want to live. And from what I'm hearing, the people sitting in front of me and the people on the doorsteps, is they're struggling to get on the household market, but they're trying to do it individually, which makes it twice as difficult. And I'm certainly not saying they should be forced into having relationships to buy a house. That isn't the way forward at all, because like I just highlighted, it just leads in the end to people splitting up, and that creates its own set of problems for the community.
In terms of in your constituency then, what is the number one priority there?
Most of the constituents, to be honest, on the doorstep, are concerned about footpaths and dog muck, which you'd expect. They're also they're just very concerned that the local brown sites aren't being utilised. There's a lot of empty spaces on the promenade. They are more a little bit concerned about Erie Stain and the proposed windmills up there. And the same as everyone else in the Isle of Man, that the government is looking after their best interests, both national and local government.
What's your view on the Erie Stain proposals?
From reading up, it seems that the on-land wind turbines only produce a third to a half of the power that an out-at-sea wind turbine. So I'm a bit hesitant how they're going to get all the material up there. It does seem they're going to cause a great deal of damage. And I'm totally for green energy. If you can take the power from the sun and utilise it and make it good for the people of the Isle of Man, then that's the way we should be going. The Erie Stain one, I'm probably against that, just for the sheer scale and the fact that they don't produce as much energy as a turbine at sea.
You mentioned the power from the sun there. What is the alternative then, green energy-wise?
Tidal. Some of the Scottish islands are doing very well from tidal energy. I'm meeting a gentleman very shortly, actually, to discuss the capacity to tap into the thermal energy underneath the Isle of Man, because we are partly volcanic in the south. And he is an expert in that field and is extremely convinced that that would be one alternative. Again, diversification is the way forward. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's where you're going to come unstuck. So if it can be a mixture of wind and solar. The biggest issue at the moment is storage. But if you're looking on a worldwide scale, they are really ramping up that part. And as soon as we can store electricity efficiently, then I think we've won the game. And solar would probably be the best way. I have a motorhome, which is fully solar. My boat, I have a solar on that, which charges the batteries. So I'm very keen to use it. I've had a couple of quotes on my house, but I'm struggling to get people to commit to come and do it. And I think that's because they're so busy at the moment. But it's certainly something I'm looking forward to getting fitted and have a battery wall and take me off the grid. I like the idea of being off grid.
In Russia and the South, perhaps more generally, a lot of the topics that were talked about perhaps during the last election, things like a Newcastle Russian high school, Port St Mary High Street, they're still topics that we're talking about now. Do you think there has been enough investment in the south of the island?
It is a real shame that Castle Russian hasn't been started. My grandson is about to start his last year in Russian, so it would have been lovely for him to go through Castle Russian or the new Castle Russian. So hopefully we can get the first sod cut on that very soon. As regards to High Street, I know Church Road in Port Erin, people are concerned about that as well. I think it has to be a combination of the government, the local government, and the people running those businesses themselves to get together and as a community to advertise themselves, to use social media as best they can. Unfortunately, it seems to be the way of it now, that unless you can make a TikTok, what's going on in your business, people seem to overlook you. But there are some great businesses down there which are used quite a lot, I believe, from what I've seen. Port St. Mary has just had the new Kellers made, which is a really nice place to go and chill. Hopefully that will see people, the footfall coming back onto the high street from people visiting that. And I'd just say to other local businesses there to invest in yourself, to find new ways to get your name and your products out there and encourage people in.
Is it for businesses to be investing, or would you like to see more support from government as well?
It really has to be a combination of both. But it is, when you're running my business, I invest heavily back in myself. I always have for the last 25 years. My profits go back into the business, and to push myself out and use of social medias and advertising. So it definitely has to be a combination of both. I wouldn't. That's pretty much all I can say. That it has to be a government. If the businesses can work with the government and vice versa, then I feel success can be made.
Now, one of the other topics that you mentioned as one of your priorities when you filled in our survey was immigration. And we know that the government in this administration has had a look at growing the population. What are your thoughts on that?
That is a hot topic. I'm hearing it a lot on the doorsteps. People are concerned. I think their main concern is the thought of illegal immigration. I would agree with them. If you're coming in illegally, no, that's not how we want you to come into the Isle of Man. The government's stance of attracting immigration, I can understand it, because obviously we have a falling population. We're not having enough children to sustain our communities, so we need to replace some of them. The government currently is trying to attract new workers and residents. I would change that word to allow. It's a very simple change, and basically it would pre-check the people who are coming in. So we already do it a little bit through the work permit system, although that was relaxed substantially, and I know they're bringing it back a little bit. It was good to see that the government quickly react to the English change in their immigration from 5 to 10 years, and I think we've done that the same. However, I do feel that anyone who's already been on that pathway to a 5-year registration should be able to continue that, because it seems very unfair to start someone on a pathway to then stop it bluntly. But anyone new coming through would have to accept the 10 years. But the word attract and allow is very important. To allow someone, you can ask them very simple questions. Do you have any criminal convictions? Yes, I got done for speeding twice, and I stole a can of lemonade from a sweet shop when I was 13. Okay, that's fine. But the next person, yes, I have criminal convictions. I've stolen 3 cars and I've had 2 convictions for assault. No, I'm afraid you can't come to live on our island, because we can't. You have to allow people to make mistakes in life, but we have to, as an island, assess what those mistakes are and judge whether they are good for us.
You talked about the concern on the doorstep regarding illegal immigration. Do you think there is enough being done around border security on the island?
Well, I've recently flown a few times on and off the island. I haven't had to give ID at all. The boat is the same. I think the issue is that when people are given right to leave to stay within the UK and the common travel area, then they have the same right as everyone else to travel to and from the Isle of Man. And I can't really see, if someone has a legal right to travel, how are you going to stop them, unless they are permanently thinking of moving to the Isle of Man? And under those circumstances, that's when the allow scenario should come into play.
And one of the other topics you touched on, and I think you mentioned it earlier in this conversation, was heritage. What are your thoughts on that?
It's so important. It really is. It's what makes Manx, Manx. So the Craigneish, the sound. I can remember sitting on the little painted mushrooms at the original Sound Cafe. The Manannan Centre needs an update, without question. The museum in Douglas is a fantastic venue, and they do so much work, and it's all free, and I quite often send people that way. In Russian itself, Port Erin, Peel Beach, we've got all the facilities an island needs to attract people, and we just need to make sure they're maintained, worked upon, and get better.
Do you think they have been maintained? We've seen issues with, say, the lack of bus to Craigneish, that the cafe at Niarble being closed, that the lack of work on the horse tram tracks. Is there enough done on heritage?
Well, the horse trams should be at the sea terminal without question. Always was, should always be. It's certainly a strong part of our heritage. Investing, government has to decide where the money's going to go, and there's a lot of pressure from every corner that they want the money brought through. It is very important. If we're not maintaining our infrastructure for tourism and for our residents, then people will stop using it and people won't come. However, it is partly community-led. If people won't use a facility, then, and a lot of them are run by private individuals, then how can that continue? It can't be supported wholly by government, however, some of the museums and stuff, but they generate income for us as well.
On the flip side, there will be people who say, these are nice to have, but we have a health service that's struggling for its funding. Where is the line there between funding for things like heritage and funding for what people might describe as core services?
I think they equally have a place. The health service is paramount. I think we fell into a reactive health service now as opposed to a proactive health service, and there's a lot that we can do to work on that. But again, people aren't coming on holiday here to go to the hospital. They're coming on holiday to walk the footpaths, to visit the historic areas and use the trams and the trains and Craigneish, etc. So it's important that they're maintained if they go away, because these people are leaving us reviews, and we need to maintain a high score on a global market.
Now, we've just got a couple of minutes left in this interview. So what would your final message be to the voters of Rushen?
Please take a little bit of time to look at all the candidates' manifestos, get to meet them. By all means, get in touch with me. My contact details, email, etc., are all over the internet now, and I'm very easy to find. I really do want to hear, because it gives me the broader range of input. Helps me to round myself up into what potentially could be a good MHK. Moving forward, get involved, and furthermore than that, on an island basis, if there's anyone out there who is still thinking about whether to put their name forward, particularly if you're a long resident and you've Manx heritage, do it. And this is why I put my name forward. I believe the Isle of Man is the best place to live on the planet. Without question. And I know a lot of other people do. And it's only by putting your name forward and doing your very best that the Isle of Man will also do its very best.
You mentioned their manifestos. I know you've not published yours just yet. I think you're planning to in August. What goes into putting that together? How important is that public feedback?
Obviously, I have to put my ideas, but they're again shaped by what I'm hearing and the people I've talked to and all the people I've spoken to over the years. It is quite difficult because things change very rapidly. If I'd wrote my manifesto 6 weeks ago, I would have been talking about 20 mile an hour speed limits, which is still going to be an issue, I think. It's a day in politics, I think, is the terminology. And it does move very fast. I don't want to put my manifesto out too early. So, yeah, it will be coming out mid-August, late August. But it's well on the way.
That was Simon Williams, who's hoping to represent Rushen in the House of Keys. Also standing in the constituency are Michael Crowe, Michelle Hayward, Mark Kemp and Lawrence Vaughan Williams. You can listen back to this interview again or any of the others carried out as part of this series at manxradio.com or from your usual podcast provider. The general election is taking place on Thursday, the 24th of September. And don't forget, you can find out all about it on our dedicated website, which you can also find at manxradio.com.